thank you, Lord, that today by your wonderful Holy Spirit, you're going to open up something to us to make our lives richer and better and deeper. I praise your name today, oh God, you're going to take us another step. And all of us that feel that we're in a rut, especially about healing, we're going to take a big step. I praise you for those that will take a quantum leap today.
Yes.
I declare in advance that the Spirit of God will move mightily because he's going to be pleased. And because the will of the Father is going to be accomplished today. So thank you, Lord. We're hungry and thirsty, and many of us have been praying and say, take us further, Lord. We need more of you. Our nation does. The whole world does. And give us a brand new day, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My message today is seeing the sick healed. Seeing the sick healed. Can't see that. One of the greatest healing evangelists ever known was John G. Lake. He was ministering in Africa right after Azusa Street, right in that period of time there, when God was outpouring in a way hitherto unheard of. And he was bringing revivals all kinds of places. In 1908, John Lake begged to go with a group of people that were going to go to the southern part of Africa. And there was a terrible plague there, and people were dying. He said you could go by houses and one morning, and there would be there'd be three in a bed, two would be dead and one would be living. And that every house that you would go by, dead people, numbers of them, fathers taken, mothers and children left. All children taken, parents left. He said, I saw that sickening scene until I thought I couldn't live for pain. Through miracles, they ministered to and cured thousands. Let me read you something that he wrote. Within the range of my eyes, there live 10 million native people. They have never heard the name of Jesus. And the whole land, in the whole land, there are at least 100 million, perhaps 200. There are more being born every day. There are more being born every day than have been Christianized in 50 years. In other words, tons of people are being born every day, but there's nobody saved. So he asked God, because he said, I was in agony. And he said, what is the problem? How can we get these people healed? How can we bring them to your own self? What can we do? And all of these people can be saved. They could be healed. Surely it's not that you disregard them as people. At length of the Lord spoke of him. He had said to him, the problem is the church, which is his body. He said, the problem with the people not getting healed and saved in Africa is the church, which is it by his body. Oh, you mean it's my fault? You mean it's my fault? You mean it's not their fault? How can it be somebody's fault they're not saved? They're sitting in darkness.
Right.
How can it be anybody's fault that they're not healed? They don't even know about Jesus, much less that he heals. They don't know anything. You're the only one who knows anything. I've been saying this for years. Believers are the only ones that know anything. And people hang on every word of any crazy thing anybody has to say, like it's just the greatest revelation in the world. And they follow after the great stars and the people who do great things that they've never done before, so everybody's after doing some great thing. It's a sad thing, you know, when they could be saved and healed. They're just after some great thing. I saw the other day a video of people walking up Mount Everest, up at the top. Probably there were 100. And all walking in, maybe 2 abreast. Find the off button. Just find the off button. That's all you have to do. These people were walking up the mountain 2 abreast. And what they were telling us was that so many people have set themselves to get to the top of Mount Everest this year that the mountain is too full. The runway is clogged. And they can't move fast enough, so they're having to stay too long in the cold part where you're not really supposed to be there except just for a very short period of time, right before you get to the top, and then they quickly bring you down. Already 3 people have died. I can hardly say it, much less believe it. Die? Because the earth is tilted a different way there? I only mean it goes up instead of flat. I didn't mean there's a literal tilt. Wow, does she have a revelation today? Now, why do people do this? We're panicked for reality, and we'll climb a mountain for it, or whatever it takes. We just don't know where to look. And we need to be doing things that will show people where that reality is. The mighty deliverance that God provided in Jesus Christ is what we're to give a testimony of the world to. Now, sometimes people have gone to the mission field and stayed there many years before they made any breakthrough at all. But that was before 1900 and shortly after when a great Pentecostal outpouring came. Now, that's history. There are huge Pentecostal denominations in the world. There are more people who follow a doctrine about like ours than any other faith in the world. There are more. And for some reason, people still think that denominational churches is the mainstream. So he had, you know, he was taken up with all these aches. I've Americanized it there when I was talking to you just a little bit. The church needs to pray, God said to him. After he prayed, I prayed a long time. I prayed. I really saw God. And when he tells you he prays, he does something just a little different from what we do. Because his prayer level was just amazing. The church needs to pray the power of God out of heaven, God told him. Prayer is God's divine generator. The spirit of man is his dynamo. Now here's where all the power is. Here's where all the power is. When God gave us Jesus, Jesus gave us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is poured out on the day of Pentecost. Jesus gave the power of the Holy Spirit to the church and told us to heal the sick and cast out devils, and there's no limit like catching fish. You can heal all the people you have faith for. You can bring to Jesus all you have a concern and prayer and faith for. There's no limit. God saw the problem, and in Jesus he gave the power to the church. God, when God looks around and he knows that there are so many people in so many bad conditions, awful diseases, diseases you don't even know about, crippling diseases, diseases that cause pain all the time, diseases that keep people from even getting out of their beds. diseases that change people's lives forever. And that can't be the will of God. And I just was overcome with a fresh thought when I was preparing my message. Can you imagine when the burden of the guilt of the sin of abortion is lifted off our nation, which I fully believe is right on the way? Can you imagine how much clearer the pipeline to heaven is going to be? I promise you something's going to happen connected to that. And I'm going to do anything they ask me to do connected with it. I mean, we're just living along here, and all of a sudden everybody jumps up and says, we don't want any more of this. And start declaring it on the state level. There's going to be a change. Oh, I hadn't done any good before. Hey, but it ain't been today before either. We're in a different place. Yes. So many blocks have already been gotten on the way to get there. That a crazy kind of president actually accomplished. Well, hey, do I like everything he does? Are you kidding? I don't like everything you do. All right. So I'm just saying, you get ready here. And this is going to be turned around. It's not going to take nearly as long because people are going to start praying about it. They start going to places and praying and having rallies. It's the next chapter. Hallelujah. It's our responsibility where there's need. God saw the problem in Jesus, gave the power to the church. And now let's do it. To heal the sick and to cast out devils. Let's see the sick healed. At a later point in his ministry, he said, from where I sit, I can see the campfires of 1,000 villages. And I have seen thousands of people healed, saved and delivered. It should be normal to see people healed every day. Jesus gave it to us for this purpose. He wants to see people healed, and he wants to see you healing in his mighty name. He wants you to do it. Now, there are people that don't want to do it anymore. I'm horrified to know that people are choosing to go to a church where this won't be mentioned or any of the gifts of the Spirit. So they're not ever going to do this. That's sad and that's serious. Yes, it is. And I'm asking the Lord, how are we going to get you back in the churches? I sometimes wonder what he meant when he said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? I don't know exactly what it means, but I think it means partly you need to hold on to what you've got. You need to hold on to what you've got. The devil's trying to drag you down another alleyway. He's putting up something that looks very attractive, but it's not the truth that Jesus gave us to heal the world with.
That's right.
You need to know this. The church needs to wake up. Now I want to tell you something that's going to put you in a position, and before we end this service today, I'm going to put you in a place and give you an opportunity to make a commitment to God and a repentance to God, to where your potential for healing people is going to go up about 100,000 times. That is, if you do it from your heart. Watch that now. Biblical healing comes by faith. Biblical healing. Now, there's other kinds of healing. I thank God for whatever kind of healing that we can get. I'm glad that Jimmy's foot and legs in the shape it's in today because he got the kind of help that he needed at the time he needed. We're grateful for that. But here's the thing. Jesus said, I want you to take my healing. That's what I came into the world for. And I bore stripes. So the power that's in my blood would be taken from you through your hands to those that you pray for. Let me just say this. It's not through the quivering of your hands. It's It's not through the quivering of your body. It's not through the shaking of your head, though I do know one person that does do that, and it seems to work okay for. It's not for any of the particular. Someone say, oh, grab the oil, somebody get the oil. Well, now, this just came through my mind this morning. I would pray for anybody anywhere and not think of oil 1 minute, wherever I am. But he did say to do that in the church when you get the elders. It's a symbol of we're all believing together as a church. We did, but that's not. I have not seen where that's the thing that has the power, you know, that kind of thing. It's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the faith where the power is. Now listen carefully. Faith is a product of your spirit, not your intellect.
Right.
You can't drum up faith. You can't think up faith. You can't remember enough points to make it always work. It doesn't come by all the things you think about it or have analyzed about it. And one day you might just get full of love for somebody and feel something flowing through you and you just reach out and pray for them, they'll get healed. Totally outside your formula. Because it's not about any of those things.
Right.
I wish they had. I would give anything for some films of some of these older people praying for people. Wouldn't it be? It'd probably be so different we wouldn't do it. Oh no, I'd feel weird doing that. But I have seen William Branham on a videotape. And he's very quiet. He doesn't think that his voice or his hands or anything's doing any healing. He said, yeah, it's the Spirit of God and he knows what he's praying about. Okay. Let's say you need healing yourself. And you might pray for yourself. You might ask someone else to pray for you. All these things are fine. If you are not apparently healed, you might ask someone to pray again. Or you might pray again. Just trying to take you to the location of where we go through these kinds of things. When your faith meets this person who's praying for you, say Jane's praying for me. When Jane prays for me, then when my faith meets with her faith, now this is a lake. God taught him this. When your faith meets with the one who's praying for you, there is a connecting power for healing because you both have faith. And he said it really creates an explosion. And he said it's just a very real, I heard Kenneth Hagin use the term heavenly materiality. Is that how it is? Heavenly materiality? Well, it's hard enough for me to try to say. But he says that faith, the healing stream of faith, and faith itself, and healing, and all of these things are heavenly materialities. In other words, they are just as tangible and real as something I'd hold in my hand like this. But they're heavenly and spiritual. So let's call them things. Because it's a thing. We could get closer to the understanding. It's a thing that happens. It's a thing that happens. It's not a request thrown out into the air. To pray for and pray for and pray for. Though I do believe. To go on pray for it. How is she going to get it? If you don't know how to get it yet. Right? I'm going to tell you in a minute how to get it. If the Holy Spirit will give us grace to receive it. We'll step over into a different place. Julie's giving me that. You're killing me. Get on with it. Don't let me miss an important line here now. When my faith meets up with Jane's faith, there's a connecting power for healing. That other person, Jane, may have so much faith that I receive my healing, or a miracle even, even though my faith is weak. Now, did everybody get that? If Jane has really got a lot of faith, and I've got a little faith, and I send it out there, her faith will cover up for my lack. You better get yourself some faith-filled friends. We're going to need them in the future.
Yes.
The Lord showed John Lake the reason that it's difficult for people to get healed is because your spirit is not right. The person being prayed for, your spirit is not right. Now, let me put a point here. You can get, if a person has a gift of healing, it can overcome everything. Not being saved, everything. Pray for more gifts of healing in the church. Because we need healing. However, there are a lot of different levels and ways that faith will come. Someone else praying for you who has a lively faith may pray for you and you will be healed, even though you are weak in faith. Your spirit, because your spirit is not right. Now I'm going to say a little more about that. There are different levels of faith in which we operate for healing. Someone may have a gift of healing, but it is by the Spirit. That's by the Spirit. That person's gift, it's not just because Charlie is here people get healed. It's because Charlie has the gift of healing. The gift of healing is what does the healing. Because Charlie might pray for you and you won't get healed. Because it belongs to the Holy Spirit and it's not yours. But if I was you, I'd stay close to Charlie anyway. And it can operate spirit by the Spirit, and it is by the Spirit, and it can only operate spirit by the Spirit and by the will of the Spirit. So it can only operate by the Spirit and by the will of the Spirit, but it's on a different level from ordinary people just praying for people that they be healed. But it's the will of God that you pray for Jesus, healing, and they will recover. That's the will of God. It's not the will of God for you to pray for people and they go on sick. Or you pray for people and they die. You hope you're out of town by then. Now, so this is what the Lord showed Lake. The Lord showed him the reason it's difficult for people to get healed is because their spirit is not right. Or someone can overrule it if they have a lot of faith. Well, but if everybody has their spirit right, then you're going to see a whole lot more healing. You got your spirit right, I've got my spirit right. No reason why this healing shouldn't come. Now, about getting the spirit right, if I sent you home now, you'd be mad. You'd stomp around and miss your lunch because you'd say, so how do we get our spirit right? Right? That's the next question, isn't it? And the devil is going to jump on you and say, by doing everything exactly right. Or he's going to tell you, by being less sinful than other people. He's going to come up with a lot. But that's not really what this is about. Do you have times where you can just sense and feel and know I'm right inside myself? I'm right with God. I'm right with everybody. I said to the Lord one day, Lord, how many times do you want me to release this person and bless them before I'm free from that and I go pray for something else? Because it's not just in the things that you're saying and the things that you're praying. It's in something else that happens in your spirit. Remember, the spirit has to be right because the faith comes out of the spirit. The spirit has to be right because the faith has to come out of your spirit. The way Lake says it is this. The reason people, and this is going to tell you how to get your faith right. The reason people do not have rich, beautiful faith is because their spirits are down and they are not in communion with the Father. And they are not, and this is exactly the way he says it. I'll read it exactly. The reason people do not have rich, beautiful faith is because their spirits are down and they are not in communion with the Father. And you're not reading your Bible, and you don't pore over it. You don't live in communion with the Lord. You don't spend time. You don't spend time to answer and to have communion with the Father. Consequently, your spirit is depleted and weak. You're not having ongoing conversations with the Father. You're not talking to him about the Word. And you're not getting in the Word. And by the way, there has come a sort of a habit that has been encouraged. Reading through the Bible every whatsoever. If you're going to do that, be sure you say, now that's done, and then have a devotional time in the Bible. Because reading the Bible and getting information, you might trip over things that will really help you. But don't think that that's poring over the Word.
Right.
Get in some things that are going to feed you. If you don't, how many of you have electronic Bibles, iPads, those kinds of things? Okay. Sometimes I simply turn my iPad Bible on and push my chair back and let Alexander Scorby read to me. If I know that I need to be read to about the love of Jesus and all of that, I might go to the Song of Solomon or some of the Psalms that I know are about this or whatever. But if you will simply get into the Word, you know, the scripture says faith comes by hearing the Word. Have you ever thought about that? Which I've always thought mean like preaching. But what about having the Word read to you? And that guy, he just really, Scorby, he knows how to read. He was taught English back before we got hold of it. And it's so beautiful. But it's no funnier than that other fellow that reads that. I can't imagine how he dresses. Because he's so, what is the word for it? Not a real uncomplimentary word, but anyway.
Nerd.
Yeah. And the way he talks is not really even like the anchor people talk. It's in some other realm.
Maybe a computer.
He could be a computer. I don't like him. Don't like computers. Okay. So we'll have to learn to get into the Word. And you're going to have to get yourself, well, your little Bible computer will lay out a reading plan, Bible reading plan for you. Some of those might be good. Are they, Jane? I've never tried them. You don't know? Pretty some of them might be good for a change. But get into the Word, and when you come to something that really hits you or lives to you, stay in it and pray over it and cry about it and talk to the Father about it and let the Holy Spirit continue to teach you about it. Learn to get into the Word and spend lots of time there. Because that's what builds your faith. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word. So you need that to build your faith. You can get your spirit right, he said, John Lake said, by doing three things. One, feeding on the Word. Feeding on the Word. Secondly, continually publicly confessing what you are and what Jesus is to you. Testimony or continually saying what Jesus has done for you. Now, Judy's a person who does this all the time. If you're with her for some kind of a little short visit, you know, up to 5 minutes or something, Let me tell you, it may be a little thing to you, but what the Lord's been, I mean things like that, about your life with Jesus. I say I'm a Christian, but what do I have to say about it? They made that one of the characteristics to have to keep your faith alive. It's wonderful. We need to do this. Well, they might not want to listen. It won't hurt them. Won't hurt anybody I know to listen to a little testimony or a little Bible, right? And thirdly, communion with God. And of course, this is a thing that you have to cultivate. But I'm saying to you right now, as of this morning, these three things will be the things that we will make a commitment. Yes, I'm going to change my life. Because I want my faith to always be alive. I want my inner man to be alive. So that when I pray for healing for myself or anybody else, I stand in the place of live faith that can make that connection with that faith that is coming. So that faith that I'm sending out, that faith, if I'm praying for myself, my faith has to be alive. If someone else is praying for you, then my faith has to be alive in order to receive that. Anybody who prays for me, I remember a little young man in the Bahamas. And he just didn't want me to leave till I could pray for him. He'd been taught by somebody's school how to pray for the sick. And I thought, I don't care. I don't care what you pray or what you do. If you're sincere in your heart, have at it. And so I just continually declare, I receive this, Lord. When people pray for me to be healed, I say, Lord, I receive it. The three are, the three are feeding on the word, continual public confession of what you are and what Jesus is to you, and communion with him. Communion, feeding on the word, continual confession. That's not too hard, is it? All you have to do is to change your focus. Change your focus. And besides that, nobody's told you this before. Let me tell you why. He made this statement. John Lake made this statement. There came a time that the Lord taught me this. And then my ministry was never the same again. But until that happened, it wasn't like this. I'm talking about this step I'm talking about today. He said, it took that change in me for me to understand how to keep my spirit right. It does not mean that you're going to do everything right now. And it's not about doing. You notice I didn't tell you do this thing, do that thing, do that thing. Except read the word. You just discipline yourself to do that. But you have to bear in mind that you're going to do this confession thing. And that you're going to do the communion thing with him. But what it really is creating a new culture inside your spirit man so that your spirit is always alive. I'm just telling you from the man who saw thousands healed and then came back to America and did it all over again by building healing rooms. And he's just very highly acclaimed. It's very similar to what Evan Roberts taught, to have a revival. Confess Christ publicly. Put away every sin and evil habit. Obey the Holy Spirit promptly. And what was the fourth one? I thought there were four, maybe not. And as I was considering it, I'm just about through now. As I was considering this, I thought there is this sort of... There's a sort of a place God puts us in if we're going to be healers, and the Word of God expects us to be healers. So it must mean that this is a doable thing. Because God doesn't want to torment us with wishes for things that can never come about. And there have been days and times that a lot of people have done these very things. I'm looking to God to open all of that up again. For the people that don't believe in healing or baptism of the Holy Spirit, to find out, well, just go to Shekinah Church. A lot of people are being, we're seeing people healed. So we talk a lot about healing, but we're going to have to get this in order if we really see them healed. It's not a big deal. In a way, it's just surrendering your life more completely to Him, isn't it? And it's also falling in love with Him more completely.
Yes.
Sometimes the reason that we don't sing much in worship is that we don't have much worship in our hearts for Him. We haven't been with Him. We haven't been spending time with Him and just getting with Him. But I thought the way Roberts in there was another one that had a very similar way to bring revival. It's the same thing. It's getting your spirit in order. And then the other thing which the Lord gave me, I thought recently to me, was something new, a new fresh way to get your faith right and to get yourself totally right for revival, is what I taught out of Matthew 5. I call it the new forgiveness, which goes on beyond I forgive and saying it. And it goes on to blessing your enemies, loving them, praying for them of all things, doing good for them. Well, if you do that, you're almost to heaven anyway. You know what? If you'll give yourself to that, those things the Lord showed me out of Matthew 4, it'll change you on the inside. I would have thought myself a fool to have prayed in time past like I pray now. Well, I pray for those people that have nearly killed me to do better. Then they'll kill me more, won't they? And I just took God's word for it. I found out I could do it. And I believe it's helping those people, too, that I pray for. And I don't ever get weary of it because another one will come along just about the time I think I've got it taken care of. Sometimes, I remember a person in the church talked to me 2 or 3 times about forgiving a person because they knew they needed to, but they got the victory. And I told them what's really involved in forgiving someone, but we must do it. And then we must go this next level and forgive that divorced husband who was so mean to you and cruel to you. Pray for him to be blessed. All of those kinds of things. It puts you in a different place. I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. He's just, why is he doing that? He just wants to make you like him. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. How was it? This is a fact that a man was ordered to buy a house for his divorced wife. And he bought it such an awful place nobody could live there. Is that how good? Isn't that unbelievable? You can't legislate forgiveness. You just got to agree that it's God's way. It's God's way, and it will really, really do wonders for you. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, I totally forgot. I was out on a picnic in Africa, and I totally forgot what time it was. Are we okay? Everybody all right? All right. I really prayed about this because I felt like the Lord said, I'm gonna let you have a gift to give to the church. And you're going to give them this truth, and all they have to do is receive it. If it's good enough for John lake. It might be good enough for us. It might be. You believe that?
Yes.
So there is a way to get in a better place, and maybe he allows. Is there any more water I could have, or am I going to be punished because I spilled mine? So,
okay.
I'm on the job, brother.
All righty. Now I'm excited about this because this is not usual church. And we're going to do things the way the Holy Spirit says to do. And just as if you guys were somebody and I was John Lake and we met up out in Africa somewhere, thousands and thousands of people were healed. And I'm believing that the Lord is going to let that truth come into us the way that others. He said in America, the church that I was over in Africa, southern part of Africa, had 100,000 people in it. And he said, and I hardly ever heard of such a thing as anybody backsliding.
Wow.
You see, they got something. They probably got stuff like I've been teaching you this morning. It makes you close to God. When I was praying this morning, and I was sitting there and I thought, man, this guy way back before Azusa Street and all that, this guy, I think it would have been before then, he wrote this song, but it tells just exactly where we need to get to in order to have this power. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Can you do it, Jim?
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream
there
flows from Calvary's mount.
In the cross.
In the cross. In the cross. Be my glory. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Now let's think of ourselves as people who are soundly in the cross and all it stands for, and Jesus himself and all he did for us. We are in him, the word says, and he is in us. And we have that relationship of being a part of one another. We're not just people hoping for the best. He loves us. He loves me. He's pulled me out of so many awful things. He wants to do that for every one of us. He wants you to give yourself this morning, to decide to live your life in him and him in us, and to commune, just to commune with him, and to talk about the scriptures with him and what he's shown you and what he's done, and let him speak to you and let him break through on your life, and let worship songs come to you and sing them. Be vocal to him. Don't be afraid to sing to the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's worthy of my best song, my highest worship, my greatest praise, everything I have to give. Would I withhold anything at all from him? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I saw Jesus once in a dream, and he was so wonderful. I couldn't see. I wasn't given any gifts to draw, I could draw what I saw. And he took me out of something that I couldn't work my way out of. In the very dream, he said to me, "Oh God, in the name of God," which is what he prays in the 17th of John in the NIV version. And he called out and prayed in God's name for me. And he, when he did that, he jumped across a cavern. But he had chains, which he was bearing. Mine, they were mine. And my theology clicked in, and I said, "No, I'm free." And I told him all the things that I know about my salvation. But when he said, "Oh God, in the name of God," he threw those chains off. And I was completely free. And the next day, everything about the difficulty was all gone. He does things that are so rich and real when we commune.
Yes, right.
When you get to the place where you really, really commune with him. And it, Lake communed with people long enough until... Communed with the Lord long enough until the Lord told him why people weren't, we weren't seeing people getting healed. He's left it to the church. And we need to pray that power out of heaven. And when we pray, when we really pray, it's a dynamo. And power is coming through us, and it's a heavenly materiality. It's something real that you can touch. It comes like a stream of electricity, is the way that Lake said it. And if people join their faith together with yours, you have explosions. And something is sent to you and you can feel it and receive it. The Lord wants people now. He wants you to know that this is a time of crisis. It's a crisis in the nation. It's a huge crisis in the church because people are going away from the message of the full gospel and turning away from it. They don't want it. And we are the answer, and other churches like us who will pray the power of heaven down again. And who will release the gifts that he puts in us so that people can be healed and set free again. Judy, I want you to come down here just a minute. Judy. The Lord gives me things by the Spirit sometimes. I don't know where you can sit, Judy. Can they pull you out of a chair? Oh, you're too far from. That's exactly what I want. Yeah, turn it this way just a little bit. Can you turn it that way a little? You really look pretty today, Judy.
Yes.
Yes. This is the most, I hope you guys will understand that this is a different kind of service. And the Holy Spirit wants to say some things, and he wants some people to transition, cross over some rivers, and not be taken back again to a place of despair and hurt or loneliness or any things like that. And he said that. This is not the prayer I've been praying for, Judy. He just sort of woke me in a dream and said that. Here's what he said, Judy. He said, "I'm coming to Judy right now, and I'm showing you how I'm coming. I'm coming to Judy right now, and I saw you lying on a bed, just face down, lying on a bed. Maybe you were sad. I didn't see your face." And he said, "Right now, I am bringing to Judy what she has lost in the past that would cause her to be powerful in the future. And all the love that she never comprehended, I'm going to make that a reality in her life. So she's going to feel different about life. And she's going to know that I touched her. And she's going to know that I have plans for her that I'm going to set her into. She's going to be able to function because of the love that I'm going to restore to her that she's missed. It was the most amazing thing, Judy. I said, I can't really, I have to interpret this. It's awfulest things. I understand why prophets say, I can't put this into words. It's like he's sort of wanting to hover around you. I don't know why, I guess because the time has come for whatever. And he said, I'm going to deal with you very tenderly. And you're going to know my love. And it's going to take you into the next thing that I'm going to allow you to do. And you're going to forget about any love that ever was not there. And you're going to be healed of everything where you disparaged and thought nobody cared. Because you're not even going to think that way anymore. He always wants to bring you a little taste of heaven. He wants to bring you really, really, really close to himself. Let me have your hand, Judy.